News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Want to get to the meaty issues that are going to affect people's lives, but can we just deal with this ongoing saga of speaking rights? Look, you've been very critical of the opposition, their behaviour, and I think most people would agree their claim that, you know, what's happening is a threat to democracy is nonsense. But the deal to secure speaking rights for Michael Leary and the Reason Independence, that was a political stroke, wasn't it? You did it because you could do it.
No, I mean, first of all, it's a very modest change, about 8 minutes additional. The opposition lose no time at all. In fact, Labour Party, Social Democrats and the other technical groups will actually gain time compared to what they had in the last Dáil. There will be an additional question of 8 minutes on a Wednesday and on a Thursday for other groups, particularly the Regional Independents and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael backbenchers, government backbench TDs, who'll get an opportunity to ask questions as well. That happens in Germany, France, Sweden, Australia and Finland and other countries. There were 20 hours of negotiations at the Dáil Reform Committee to try and give effect to this. Over quite a 2 month period. And the chief whip, with the other whips and other members who were on that committee, tried to hammer out a solution to this because we do want to move on. My genuine view is that the opposition, particularly Sinn Féin, said it before after the election and before the Dáil set, it was going to be in a total opposition approach. It's going to be disruptive. We saw that on day one. This was the day one of the Dáil when one is meant to elect a Taoiseach and a government. It's the first time in the 106-year history of the Dáil that the government couldn't even, or the Dáil couldn't even get around to doing its business because of the disruption. I don't mind people having an opposite view or a different view, but it's this disruptive tactic of shouting down people and not allowing people to speak. I was not allowed to speak last week. I spoke for 3 minutes over the din and the row, the barracking and the shouting and the roaring. I think that's a fundamental threat to our democracy. A lot of people didn't even comment on it, which I thought was interesting.
Well, we commented on this show.
Not a lot, I said.
Yeah, we did.
It is a new departure, and I worry about the future.
I think a lot of people would agree with that, but Taoiseach, nobody believes the argument that this is about correcting an imbalance to allow backbenchers to ask questions. This is part of a deal with Michael Leary.
Well, again, everyone. It's interesting. The entire debate is framed through the personality of Michael Leary. And yet there's quite a number of it. There's Gillian O'Toole, there's Barry Heenahan, who've been barracked a lot, by the way, and singled out and targeted by the opposition, which I think is very untold as well. You have Carol Nolan and you have Matty McGrath, Danny Healy-Ray.
But it was Larry's deal. Larry did the negotiation.
Michael Leary's not in government. I mean, Sean Kenny's in government.
Yeah.
Noel Grealish is in
government. He's supporting the government.
Marion Harkin is in government. Yeah, he supported the government in 2020. He supported the government in 2016 and no one said a word. There was no talk about losing your rights. Since 1932, opposition TDs have been supporting different governments at different stages and no one ever lost their speaking rights or were told you have to go there or go there. And that's an aspect that hasn't been looked at all. If you look in 5 years' time, say you have four TDs who can facilitate a government, why would they? If it means that their, you know, normal speaking rights will be limited if they facilitate the formation of a government. And it's always been my view that after a general election, we have an obligation to form a government. No matter what the numbers
Accepted,
are, we should do that and not have another general
and
election.
And yet, I can't help feeling, Taoiseach, you had a brilliant election campaign. It was a personal triumph for you. You know, you were seen as this conciliatory figure. You were the clear winner of the election. You've squandered that goodwill with this kind of pointless row. And I accept that the point you make about the opposition, but you've given them this opportunity to do so, and you've squandered goodwill in doing so, have you not?
Well, I think we did everything we could to get an agreement here because the independents didn't get what they wanted. They don't have a leader's question type format like the Sinn Féin will have, and rightly so, and Social Democrats and the Labour Party and the other two. There are two other independent groups then with only 8 members each. Who will have substantial time way ahead of the other group, as we call them, the Regional Independent Group. So there was a fair enough solution, I thought, that the Chief Whip and others came up with, but it didn't find favour with the opposition, because I think the opposition, from day one, if you go back to the day the Dáil sat, that told us what was going to happen in this Dáil. Sinn Féin didn't do as well as they thought in the election. They've gone back to total opposition mode. They're back to disruptive politics. And if you looked at what happened last week, they had people positioned all over their side of the house to keep the aggro going. And then they had the nerve to say afterwards, well, procedures weren't followed. They were actually, and the Clerk of the Dáil has written a report saying they were absolutely followed properly.
Is the Ceann Comhairle up to the job?
Yes, the Ceann Comhairle is. I think it's very unfair to the Ceann Comhairle to say that, because Sinn Féin are putting down the motion on the basis of how the Ceann Comhairle handled last week. That's what they're saying. I think it's extraordinary because they didn't move their amendment. It couldn't be taken because it wasn't moved. The reason they didn't move it is because they didn't want the vote to happen. They did vote, by the way, and then didn't sign the teller papers afterwards. So in many respects, I'd say they wanted the Dáil adjourned. That's why the shouting and roaring happened. They anticipated that if they shout loud enough, long enough, keep droning everybody out, there'd be no alternative but for the Dáil to be adjourned. They made false accusations afterwards about collusion and Mary Butler having thumbs up, all untrue, didn't happen. And everyone knows it didn't happen. And just because you say something happened doesn't mean it did. And I think we're in this mode of disruptive politics. I hope it stops because we do have far more serious issues
Let's talk about some of those serious issues because Wednesday, Liberation Day, as Donald Trump is terming it, Tariff Day. You said over the weekend we're in uncharted territory. What's your plan? What's your strategy? Particularly, I suppose, re-pharma, tech and the food sectors?
Well, I think our overriding objective is to protect jobs in Ireland. We have to navigate that. First of all, we have to work within the European Union and with our member states and with the Commission. I mean, it looks like we're going to have uniformly applied tariffs in about quite a number of sectors. We've already had the steel and aluminium and derivative products, cars, I think the food, the metals, pharma, semiconductors, perhaps, and wood. And these are well signalled by the US side. We will work with our European Union partners. We will continue our dialogue with the US and engagement with the US. And then we have to work on our own economy, control what we control. So if I take European Union, we do need to now make the European Union more competitive. We need to expand the single market. We need to develop a savings and investment union, which is the old capital and markets and banking union, to allow more capital to be invested in Europe. And Europe is now pressing ahead with that. But Ireland and Luxembourg and Germany and France are key countries with strong financial services. So there have been barriers to that in the past because everyone's protecting their own domains. But to make Europe more competitive, we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to diversify more in trade. We will ratify the Canadian-European Union trade deal, which we have operational, but the Dáil hasn't been able to ratify it in the last couple of years. We're going to have to do that and seek
that
out further markets.
That won't go well with the opposition, I imagine.
No, it won't. But I mean, I don't understand why. They've been opposed to CETA now, even though trade is our flesh and blood. Like we need to bread on the table. Ireland is a small open economy, so we need to trade. So we need to be counterintuitive as President Trump and the US administration is putting tariffs on. And their objective is to get manufacturing back to America.
Yeah. He seems to have Ireland particularly in his sights. I mean, he mentioned us again last week. That is concerning, isn't it?
It is concerning. And he was very clear about it because, of course, we have a strong footprint of US pharma companies in Ireland. Yeah. So do other European countries, you know, Belgium, maybe the Dutch.
True. Do you push for the EU? I saw this suggest over the weekend, not to impose retaliatory tariffs on the pharma sector. Is that something you will be pushing?
These are the discussions we're having with the EU. And in the first instance, and President, I spoke with President von der Leyen yesterday, I think it'll be Europe is not going to do a knee-jerk response. So I think what will happen is Europe will respond on Thursday in terms of a general sort of outline of its position, but will take some time then to strategically outline how it intends to respond. And it's a kind of an issue like that. What's in the best interests of Europe in terms of that response? What is strategic?
Do we have credit in the bank with Europe? I mean, thinking Ursula von der Leyen, for example, she might be looking at Ireland saying, well, Taoiseach, your MEPs didn't even vote for me to be president of the Commission.
Long beyond that now at this
have
stage.
We? And yes, or do things like that not linger in the memory?
No, not with President von der Leyen. And, I've had discussions in the last while with the president of the Commission and again last evening. And it's very much focused on how Europe should respond because we have to respond collectively. Obviously, the president of the Commission has to balance up various interests. Some countries, for example, are going to be hit very hard by car tariffs and car manufacturing, and quite a number of European countries is a key part of their economy. So different countries in Europe will suffer from this. I make the overall point, the entire world will suffer from tariffs and a move to protectionism.
It's bad news for us. It's a loser.
And you can
is.
See in the markets, it's also slowing down investment because many companies are deciding not to invest at the moment with all of the uncertainty.
So markets, how grave stability. A threat is this to
It's
our...
a very, very grave threat. It's a very serious threat because most people who invest in businesses and so on want stability. They want predictability. They want liquidity in the markets. They don't have that at the moment with the level of uncertainty that's going on.
Okay.
And so therefore, people are suspending investment decisions. So overall, that will have a negative impact.
And will it have an impact on the budgetary arithmetic come the autumn?
It could very well. We're going to have to assess that. We will continue to...
It's unlikely we'll have another giveaway budget. We could. It would seem irresponsible at this stage.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
this.
We're not going to... We're going to focus our spending, particularly on capital. We're going to have to spend more on water. Infrastructure to allow more housing. We continue to spend on housing, the grid, energy. And again, that whole energy piece is key to get energy prices down. Ultimately, that's key for the long-term benefit of the economy. That means more. That means to try and accelerate offshore wind development, working with the industry and getting infrastructure in place to enable that to happen. And that means expansion of the grid. So we do have to try and preserve space for capital investment in those sectors that will improve the productivity
okay,
of
so
the economy
focus on
into the future
rather than current spending. Can I ask you about housing in particular, Taoiseach? Obviously, it seems we've stalled the progress we've made. Apartment building in particular has stalled. We fell well short of 40,000 units last year, despite what you said in the election. After you became Taoiseach, you made a series of comments. You came across like a man in a hurry to do things and things that weren't going to be popular. Everything's gone pretty quiet since then.
The work is underway. I mean, the National Planning Framework, that'll come to government in the next week or two now, which will allow for more...
It should have come to government before now, Taoiseach,
which will allow...
It?
It comes when it's ready. We've already approved at a cabinet subcommittee level.
Has it not been ready for many months?
And we're going to... That will enable us to rezone land. And the minister will issue instructions to the county councils in terms of their county development plans. And the rezoning of land is extremely important. The rental review, which started last October, should be in the next week or two. Government will assess that and make decisions on that.
And are you still of a mind that that rent cap is actually inhibiting investment?
But again, the response to my initial comments on that were...
Including from the Taoiseach.
Yeah, well, not from the Taoiseach. I'm talking about people generally. The opposition said I was getting rid of, which I never said at all anywhere. But we do have to review it. The ESRI came out this week saying this has to. I think what we're being told is private sector investment want to know what the landscape is for the next 10 years so they can invest with certainty.
Are you willing to make unpopular changes? Because that would be an unpopular change.
I'm willing to do what it takes to get investment going at a significant level in the private sector. It may not be, I mean, it will depend on obviously what the review is saying to us, because we do want to protect renters. Like, we have to protect renters. Rents are high.
Okay.
But we do have to create a stable framework where people will invest so that we get more stock into the private rental market and into private housing more generally, on top of the state investment, which is huge at the moment.
Okay. 3 minutes before we need to go, Taoiseach. So can I ask you three very quick questions? Sean Lamass said, if Europe is worth joining, it's worth defending. Do you agree with that viewpoint?
I do, and I think Europe, more generally, will have to become more self-reliant. Member states within the European Union have to become more self-reliant.
And
in
do
terms
we need
of
to put our shoulder to the wheel in terms of...
We're significantly enhancing our defence capability. We're also contributing, we're net contributors to the European Union, and we're contributing significantly and will be into the future. In terms
could you see Ireland being part of a European army in the future?
I don't. I mean, that kind of language around the European army. I do see greater cooperation on cyber security, on maritime security. So, for example, we're part of common security and defence in Europe since the very beginning, for well over two decades now at this stage and more. And so that will continue. And the white paper has been published on European defence. We don't have issues with it. We think it facilitates our situation, but also enables us to work with other countries to procure, for example. There should be joint procurement on issues like primary radar procurement, which we're doing.
Okay, so greater spending rather than a huge change in direction. Two last quick things. Irish Times reporting this morning the government's considering interventions to lift the passenger cap at Dublin Airport, including laws allowing the limit to be increased. Can you shed
again,
any further light on that?
Not much further light, other than we're looking at every option to get this sorted, because I think it is a significant economic issue for the country, not just for Dublin.
You want that cap lifted.
And we need connectivity. I think the cap was put in for a different reason, which has now expired in terms of the reasoning or the
Michael
criteria
O'Leary
for that
says
cap
it's, in,
at the time.
It's in the government's power to do it.
Well, whatever we do has to be within the proper legal framework. And we're conscious that anything we may do could be subject to challenge. But that said, there is an imperative to get it lifted, in my view.
Okay. And if the government can do it legally, you will do it?
We'll do what it takes.
Okay. Final question. Will Fianna Fáil contest the presidential election later this year?
Well, again, we're taking soundings and discussing it internally and so on, but it's a bit early yet. And
it's not that early. You need to be getting a move on, would you not?
No, you don't, actually. That's my own view. If you look at presidential elections in the past, some candidates went far too early.
Yeah,
and by the time the election date came around.
Is there a logic in the government having a joint candidate?
I think parties will either have their own candidates or will support, you know, independent types of that might be close to their party's view. But I think generally speaking, it's a matter for us to decide ultimately what's in the best interest of the presidency, because the people vote for somebody who they believe, or will vote for somebody who they believe can hold the office with dignity and carry it well in terms of the international engagements and sort of have the pulse of the nation, if you like. And I think the current president has been doing that. So it's early days, believe me. Hopefully it can be a campaign free of rancor and kind of bitterness that has been part of previous presidential campaigns.
I suspect, given the current political atmosphere, Taoiseach, that's quite unlikely.
Lives in hope, Shane.
Yeah. Okay, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, thank you indeed for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.
Thank you.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.